It's time for the Million Pound Radio Show. Please welcome your hosts, Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel.
Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Good evening. In tonight's show, Rupert Murdoch will be explaining how the Sun newspaper is going up market. Apparently, tomorrow's edition examines the crucial issue of nuclear weapons, printing both sides of the argument, one on each of Samantha Fox's breasts.
And we'll also be reporting on a tightening of the Trades Descriptions Act that means that Arsenal Football Club will now be known as Arsenal.
And also tonight, we're thrilled to have with us the Sellafield Tap Dancing Ensemble. Marvellous, the Sellafield Tap Dancing Ensemble, 14 dancing feet. Just three people, but 14 dancing feet. 13 dancing feet. Now, before we go on, listeners, Mushtaq, our studio doorman, has an announcement to make to our audience.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the BBC studios. The fire exits are here, here, and here. Unfortunately, there are no toilets in this building, but don't worry, if you need a lavatory, just go down the road to the Tate Gallery and go on the floor. No one will give you any trouble. They'll just think it's an exhibit.
Yeah, Mushtaq, we haven't got any time to talk about the Tate Gallery.
Can you believe that place? I went in there and there's bits of wood and bricks lying all over the floor. I'm about to clear them up into the litter bin when the security man tells me they're works of art. Well, we have works of art like that in Beirut. We call them bun sites. What is this art business? Who would buy a watch designed by Salvador Dali? Who wants a watch that melts in your pocket? Do any of Henry Moore's friends really look like that? And what about Turner? Why are his paintings worth millions just because he painted them all while looking through a dirty window? And Andy Warhol, if you're listening, Andy Warhol, I can see all the soup I want to see in Tesco's, thank you very much. Not an ad, it's just like second-hand car dealing in posh accents.
Thank you, Mushtaq.
No problem.
Mushtaq there, our fundamentalist doorman.
Also with us tonight is business mogul Victor Khayyam. He's just flown in from Buenos Aires. How did you find Buenos Aires, Victor?
I liked it so much, I bought the country.
Right, now, I understand you've got a book out which is very high in the best-selling list.
That's right. It's a book for the successful businessman called Go For It.
Uh-huh, and you've got a sequel coming out.
Yes, that's for the even more successful businessman. It's called Get Someone Else to Go For It. And I'm currently working on the last one of the trilogy. Get Someone Else to Go For It, and then don't pay them for going.
Well, thank you very much, Victor.
You're welcome.
Yes, fashion. As you know, ladies and gentlemen, I take great pride in my appearance. But, of course, a great deal of time goes into creating the final stunning yet casual effect you see before you now. To help you get into the same sartorial league as myself, on the show this week we have cosmetics expert Elaine Blackburn.
Good evening, Andy.
Good evening, Elaine. And tonight you're going to use Nick to show us what wonderful things makeup can do.
That's right. Makeup is a wonderful thing, Andy, because if you're feeling good on the outside, the chances are you're more likely to feel good on the inside.
Oh, really? Yeah.
Yes, you find very few suicides wearing makeup.
That's fascinating. I never knew that. That's amazing. Well, this is Nick.
Hello, Elaine. But what's the matter?
Nothing. I've just remembered I have to go to the fishmonger's tomorrow.
Right. Well, what's the first thing I should do with my face, then, cosmetically speaking?
Have you thought of surgery?
What?
No, never mind. It's a very unusual face, isn't it?
You know, it's funny because a lot of people say that. They say that exactly like you did, Elaine. They say you've got a very... And then they pause. They say you've got a very unusual face. Lots of people say that.
Oh, yes, indeed.
Oh, thank you.
Tell me, Nick, what do you use for your blackheads?
Nothing, really.
No, they seem to grow quite well on their own.
In my opinion, I suggest perhaps using some cleanser on your face.
Cleanser. I see. Now, what kind?
Well, soap and water would be a start. But for that natural look, I'll just apply a little touch of foundation.
So that's foundation? Well, it's quite cold to the touch, isn't it? What thickness of foundation?
About 2 inches. You've got very, well, what should we say? Well, you've got the kind of skin that needs 2 inches of foundation, really.
Uh-huh.
Now, are you sleeping badly at the moment?
I am, actually. Don't tell me I've got bags under my eyes, haven't I?
Yes, yes.
Now, presumably you can make them disappear with some kind of cream, can you?
Well, that's what we normally do with bags under the eyes, yes. But I think in your case, we'll just roll them up and glue them to your lower lid.
Right.
Lovely.
Lovely, yeah.
Now, the mouth. I don't think we need to highlight the mouth. Perhaps it's a pale green lipstick.
Pale green on the lips, that's unusual.
Yes, but hopefully it will blend with the colour of his teeth.
Oh, right, yeah.
Now, it won't shout. And there we are.
Vast improvement. Thank you very much, Elaine, for those handy tips. Later in the show, we'll be asking which is safer, Russian roulette or eating in a donut kebab house.
And question, how many England football managers does it take to change a light bulb? Only one, but he won't change it because he says it's worked very well in the past.
And now, on the Million Pound Radio Show, you're about to hear something you shouldn't.
I expect you're wondering why I've called all the family together like this. It's because someone in the family has been letting us down. Is my son-in-law Enzo here?
Si.
Enzo, step forward.
Si, padrone.
Enzo, you have always been a great disappointment to me ever since you joined the family.
Ma padrone.
I give you little jobs to do. What happens?
Well, I
tell you to go see that man and make him an offer he can't refuse. You give him an interest-free loan.
I did not understand, padrone.
Then I spell it out for you. Put a horse's head in his bed, I say, and you try to do it without killing the horse.
Well, I'm sorry, padrone, but you never said dead horse. Never once did you say the words dead horse.
Enzo.
It's not my fault. I'm not cut out for the mafia.
Enzo, we do not call ourselves the mafia.
No,
we are the family.
Family.
The family is part of the organization. And the organization is part of the corporation, the Cosa Nostra. Or as it's sometimes known, the Masons. Now, Enzo.
It's not good, padrone. I'm not good at murdering.
Murder is for criminals. Bad word. We don't call it murder. We call it flower arranging. Ever since your marriage, you bring shame on us, Enzo. My daughter, Carla, she say you're a no-good husband.
That's right, Papa. Last night he came home late. So that's a good Italian wife. I scream at him for 5 hours, but still he not slap me around like a real husband. And then he humiliate me. He offered to do the cooking.
Enzo, is this true?
It gets worse, Papa. Last week he catch me flirting with Fabrizio. You know what he do?
Threaten you with the bread knife.
No, he say, flirting is a harmless social transaction, according to Desmond Morris.
Enzo, what am I going to do with you? I think Luigi here...
Si, padrone.
He's gone. to have to take you for a little ride.
Oh, good, it's nothing in here.
No, Enzo. When Papa say take you for a little ride, he mean take you down a quiet lane, shoot you in the back of the head, and then drop your body in the lake.
No, please, no. I can make myself very useful. I'll stay here with all of you and do lots of murdering.
Hey, what?
Those gladioli. I can murder them into a lovely sort of display, you know, with the roses.
I think he means you could do some flower arranging, Papa. It's a very good. He studied it at night school.
See, please, I become a good Cosa Nostra person. I get a silly middle name, you know? Enzo Fats Riccoli, or Enzo Big Bones Riccoli, or Enzo Washing Machine Riccoli, or Enzo... Enzo Shut Up Riccoli. Yes, good!
Shut up!
I promise from now on, I no let the mafia down.
Enzo, for the last time, not the mafia. We are respectable now. We come legitimate. Which reminds me, some more family business. Some people are getting behind with the payments, so we got to pay them a little visit and give them a few reminders.
What you just heard was a secret recording taped inside the headquarters of the Inland Revenue.
And next week, we'll be revealing sensitive wartime secrets, like inventor Barnes Wallace's hush-hush development of the bouncing H-bomb, which was designed to be dropped on Germany and then bounce across onto Russia. So, Nick. Nick?
Oh, sorry, man, I'm a bit distracted. Things aren't going too well with Muriel, you know. We had a bit of a row the other day.
Oh,
well,
what?
Well, you see, our best friend's a devout vegetarian and... Well, we went out the other night, and I deliberately got her drunk and locked her inside Dewhurst for the night. Anyway, now she's gone clinically insane.
Oh, that's not your fault,
well,
is it?
Well, exactly, you know, but Muriel doesn't see it that way. She says I should pay all the hospital bills, you know? I mean, well, we've not been getting on too well sexually either, you know. When we make love, I think she's faking it.
Why do you say that?
Well, one day I noticed the words, take me, my hunky stallion, written in biro on the back of her hand. Anyway, we had a bit of a slanging match and Muriel said she needed a little break to clear her thoughts. Yeah. I got a postcard from her today. Yeah.
Oh, let's have a look, yeah. Greetings from Tibet. can't quite read her writing. What's that word there?
Moron.
Right. And that one there?
Imbecile.
Right. And then... That one?
Craphead.
Ah, right. Still, at least she's thinking of you.
Yeah. How are you and Libby?
Well, a bit iffy, yeah. You know. We see, we were in bed last night and... Shall we, you know,
let's, right.
Right, do you want the light on or off?
Don't mind.
What, whichever you prefer.
Off.
Okay. Off. Right. Out. Maybe better keep it on. Bang the head on the wall.
Give us a cuddle.
Right. Ooh. Not like that. No, love. Not like that. Because my arm goes numb. You see? All right. Yeah. Let's just. Yeah. No. The other one's gone numb now. Look, shout for me. I know. Look, I'll just sort of hang my arm limply out the side of the bed. Okay? All right?
Okay now?
Yeah. Oh, my arm's freezing outside these blankets. Sorry, love, I'm not happy. I know. I'll wrap my scarf around it. Yeah. There you go. Right.
Happy?
Yeah.
No. What's the matter?
I'm sorry, love. I've got something on my mind.
What is it, love? Come on, you can tell me. What is it?
Well, I'm very worried about Ethiopia.
You do this every night.
What?
You wait till we go to bed, and you start worrying about Ethiopia.
Well, I can't help it. It's the only time I get to think about it. I mean, don't you think about it?
Yes, but not during sex.
Oh, I see. Sex is more important than global famine, is it? Oh, that's nice. There's poor Bob Geldof flogging his guts out.
Look, do you want to do it or not?
Of course I do. Of course. Hey, come on. Of course I do. Help take my mind off Ethiopia, right? Hey, come on, hey, lighten up. Come on, Lib. Hey, you got lovely eyes. You know? Lovely, cute little nose. That wasn't there before.
What?
That crack in the ceiling. Let's suppose it's structural. I mean, where are you going?
To sleep in the spare room.
But I thought you wanted to...
Well,
let's stop messing about, then.
Right, let's get on with it.
Right, hang on, what about the foreplay?
Never mind about the bloody foreplay!
Oh, that's very nice, isn't it? Very romantic. I'm a person, you know.
Oh, God.
Well, are we going to do it or not?
Well, I don't feel like it now. Maybe in the morning.
Isn't that bloody typical? You always find some reason for putting it off.
Women, eh?
Yeah, huh? The little ladies.
God bless them.
Later on, we'll be meeting the Harley Street surgeon who gives mystery ailments to old people so they've got something to talk about on the bus.
And Sir Kenneth Newman on his early career as a garden gnome.
And later on, we'll also be looking at the Middle East.
Don't talk to me about the Middle East, right? The Middle East, I mean, one thing about the Middle... Two things about the Middle... One, the Israelis are... I mean, do you realise that in 1967... Fact, in 1967, the Israelis... God, I mean, the Israelis attacked without any warning. Countries that... I mean, point number two, if you don't mind, what is national identity anyway? When you think the Russians, right? The Russians, for instance, fact, there are more Russians in Russia today who are in Russian psychiatric... I mean, as long ago as in 1936, the writing was on the wall. They knew Stalin was... I mean, that is Baldwin knew Stalin was. That's what he knew. But what do you expect from people who actually ordered troops into the coal mines? Coal mines, right. One, this country is rich in coal. Because by the year 2007, all the world's oil, that is all the world's oil, will be completely extinguished. I mean, you try telling the Conservative Party that. When will they listen? No. I mean, they're intent on the biggest unprovoked assault since 1967, which is when the Israelis started the Six-Day War. So don't talk to me about the Middle East.
Nick?
Yeah?
Who's she?
I don't know. I think she's head of religious programs.
Oh, right. Nick, have you turned anemic or something?
You what?
Well, you just look a bit pale, that's all. See, I mean, compare the colour of your arm to mine. See what I mean?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I see. I say, Andy, that's a nice tan. Have you been away on holiday?
Well, funny you should ask. Actually, I have been away, yes. Australia and Singapore.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, I love travelling. Do you do much travelling, Nick?
Well, I fell asleep the other day on the tube and woke up at Heathrow, but apart from that, no. Yeah, I've got the money, really.
Yeah, well, you should go to Australia. It's fabulous. So sunny, beautiful, lovely beaches.
Yeah, did you do much swimming?
Well, you can actually go swimming because of what they call sea wasps.
Oh, what? Sort of big wasps, are they?
No. Sea wasps are huge, invisible jellyfish with a sting that's lethal.
Oh, so no swimming, then?
No, but you could go paddling across the coral.
Oh, right, yeah.
Yeah, provided you kept an eye out for the stonefish.
Stonefish?
Yeah, because if you tread on one of those, you've got about 30 seconds to live, you know, so we tended just to sunbathe on the lawn by the swimming pool, nice and safe there.
Yeah, yeah.
Apart from the funnel web spiders that jump out of holes in the lawn and bite you on the foot and kill you stone dead, you know, but... Oh, and the deadly redback spiders that hide under the toilet seats, yeah.
So it's no swimming, lying on lawns or going to the toilet?
Yeah, yeah.
Sounds like a fantastic country.
Oh, it is, yeah, provided you're not scared of dying in appalling agony, you know, yeah. Great, yeah. Competition time now. Remember, answers on a postcard, please, to the BBC Pointless Competitions Department.
And this week, it's an arithmetical teaser to win two tickets to the Wogan Show. I am 8 years younger than Susan, who is 9 years older than Jim, who is 5 years younger than Jenny, who is 2 years younger than Pauline, who is 33. How old am I? And why can't I knock around with people my own age?
And now it's time for our trip into the archive.
Come with us on the March of Time. The year is 1965, and the swinging 60s are in full swing and are dominated by this sound. I wanna hold your hand. Yes, the unmistakable sound of the Beatles, those brilliant musicians, and Ringo, who did his best. Soon everyone was wearing Beatles wigs, including Andrew Lloyd Webber, who still wears his. As well as the Beatles, there were the Rolling Stones, led by Mick Jagger, an ex-lifeguard who could give the kiss of life to 14 people at once. And in the cinema, a new breed of actor was emerging.
Okay, who's next?
My name is Michael Caine.
Yeah. Michael, tell me, why do you talk as slowly as that?
Because this is the speed that I think at.
Michael Caine, the star of Elfie, which revolved around the key premise of films in the 60s, namely that working class people are too stupid to know how to use contraceptives. 1965 was also the heyday of TV satire. David Frost was going to change the world, and 4 years later, he owned most of it. In the world of science, 1965 saw an important breakthrough in psychiatric medicine.
As you can see, gentlemen, we've identified a new psychiatric condition. A schizophrenic, as you know, may have more than one personality, but this patient has 496 personalities, all of them devious, and yet, not only does this patient have an outwardly normal life, but he's also managed to become Prime Minister.
Yes, Harold Wilson was Prime Minister, although he denies it now. In his government, Roy Jenkins was Chancellor, George Brown was Foreign Secretary, Tony Benn was Minister for Technology, and Jim Callaghan was Minister responsible for picking up George Brown. In Rhodesia, Ian Smith gave his backing to UDI, but a typing error meant he advocated a contraceptive instead. It was weeks before anyone noticed. On a sadder note, 1965 saw the death of the great statesman Winston Churchill. On his deathbed, he made one last request.
You must promise me this. One, that I shall be buried at Chartwell. Two, that my paintings shall be preserved for the nation. And three, that if they ever make a TV version of my life, I shall never, never be played by Robert Hardy.
Tough luck, Winston. In the world of sport, 1965 was the year George Best arrived on the scene. He should have arrived in 1963, but you know what George is like. Best was a supreme athlete. In his first season, he scored 32 yeos and 86 beauty queens. But the centre of the swinging 60s was London and Carnaby Street. Carnaby Street meant youth, it meant fun, but most of all, it meant 98 quid for a Union Jack teapot. It was a time of swinging parties and extramarital sex, but all this was condemned as the permissive society by people who were too ugly to join in. But the madcap zany 60s were too much for some, and in heaven, God was bewildered.
Angel Gabriel,
yes, God?
Take a look down there. What are they? What's going on down there, eh? All this 60s rubbish. Look at them. All the women wearing short skirts, even the ones that gave bad legs. And the men are all wearing polo necks and doing a dance that makes them look like Wallies. What's that called?
I believe it's called the Hitchhiker.
What is happening? Oh, and what's that awful sound?
Yeah, Cilla Black.
Oh, dear. Gabriel, who's that there? I don't like the look of her. That one there. The one walking around carrying that bucket of cold water.
Yeah, that's Mary Whitehouse. She's one of ours.
Oh, right. What is that?
I believe it's called Tony Blackburn.
Right, that does it. I'm going to punish them. I did not labour 6 days and six nights just so they could produce a Tony Blackburn. I'm going to wipe them out.
Oh.
I think I'll opt for a flood.
Now, you've hit them with a flood before.
Pestilence?
Had it.
Plague?
Had it.
Well, there must be some eternal curse I can bring down on their heads. Ah, there. Look, that's it. Down there, look. That woman in her early 40s. Just listen to her.
I don't think that there will be a woman in my lifetime.
Oh, come on, please. They don't deserve that.
Shut up, Gabriel. She's perfect. If only I'd had her in Egypt, I wouldn't have had to use up all those locusts.
Meanwhile, back on unsuspecting Earth, everyone thought the fun would go on forever. Andy Warhol said everyone would be famous on TV for 5 minutes, but unfortunately, Wogan came along and started taking everybody's turn. And time marches on.
And that's all for tonight. Next week we'll be talking to the man who's compiling the next edition of the Oxford English Dictionary and who's decided to include England test collapse as one word.
And philosophy. We'll be asking, does Descartes' maxim, I think therefore I am, mean that Mike Channon doesn't exist? Thank you and good night.
I mean, for me, I mean, that was the Million Pound Radio Show, wasn't it? I mean, and it was written by Andy Hamilton and Nick Revel. And I mean, for me, Felicity Montague, and for me, Harry Enfield were also in it. And it was produced by Paul Mayhew, for me, Archer. Thank you, Brian.